Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Dirty Giants podcast. I know it's been a while, but I just wanted to say we're back and we're back to stay. We got a super cool episode with Anthony Hampton. He's just a straight up killer. He's a super good hunter, and you can tell from his stories that he knows what he's doing. He tells us of a 33 plus inch deer that they killed last year that they had years and years of history with, a super cool story. And then he talks about a buck of his own that he killed, a 200 plus inch deer that's just unreal, just a dream deer, and just the look that everyone goes for. I think there's a lot to learn from Anthony, and I'm super excited for you guys to hear his stories and his tips and tactics. So let's go ahead and get right into it.
I kind of wanted to talk about, like, scouting first and how you guys do your summer scouting. I noticed, like, you guys kill more archery and muzzleloader bucks than most people out there. Is that kind of like your – you kind of think that's true, I guess?
Yeah, kind of the way – kind of our style of hunting. We tend to do pretty good on those hunts, and we like them. And here in northern – New Mexico, like, there's a lot of canyons and stuff like that and lots of cuts and crevices, so sometimes you just can't glass them up. So we kind of use a lot of different tactics of getting after these big deer. I mean, especially here the last few years, they've really gone nocturnal. And like, normally on, like, the late season bow hunts, and normally you can kind of drive around and just see bucks in the truck, and, you know, you're staying busy all day just looking at bucks. But I don't know if it's drought or just additional hunting pressure or what it is. I haven't quite figured out what caused them to do it, but they have just gotten nocturnal almost year round. And so we've had to kind of go in and do a lot more tracking and kind of getting the bucks up on their feet. And once we started kind of doing that, started pulling up a lot more bucks. Because normally, I mean, on archery hunts and stuff, you kind of want to, you know, bed them down and, you know, and make a good stock and everything like that. But shoot, if you can't pick them up, you can't pick them up. And kind of the same thing with the muzzleloader hunt, you know, they kind of started digging in holes here lately, these last few years. So, you just have to kind of go in there and dig them up.
That's how you guys are finding them, then, is just tracking them out for the most part?
Yeah. We set a lot of trail cameras out there and stuff, and we'll get pictures like that. But I do a lot of pre-scouting, too. I don't have another job, so during the summer, that's what I'm doing, is just scouting and, you know, getting a catalog of bucks and seeing what we have in the units. And and then once the hunts roll around, go back and try to find them. And, you know, that's kind of the tough part about it, is, you know, like the muzzleloader hunt, it's at the end of September and it's following right after elk season. So, I mean, we just get done with, you know, a few weeks of archery elk, and then you've got to jump right into deer season. And you got to hope, you know, them deer didn't move on you, or sometimes the elk hunters, you know, have moved them, and a lot of the times we can go back and refine them, but sometimes the buck will just disappear. I mean, just depending on how many elk were in the area and how many archery elk hunters were bouncing around through there and bumping them off. And the deer will feel that pressure too, so sometimes they won't even move, and they'll just get nocturnal. Like, they don't know that they're not being hunted. They just know there's people in the woods. So
I see.
They'll react to that also.
That's crazy. So, I mean, that's pretty much impossible to hunt if they're nocturnal. So, I mean, are most of the time you're catching them on water? Like, is that where you're usually putting all your cameras, and then, like, you'll check for tracks and just try and figure them out from there?
Yeah, water is mostly where we'll put our cameras. We do have quite a few trails that we know the deer use pretty frequent, and so we'll catch them that way. And then sometimes in the preseason, you know, just cut a big buck track and just get on it and go see what he is. And sometimes you might be a big 4-horn or a 3x3, nothing you really want to go after, but sometimes you do pull up a giant that way.
Yeah.
But I try not to get too crazy with that, because sometimes you can bump a buck out of his bedding area, and especially if it's getting real close to season, you know, sometimes they'll change their habit. So there's times where I've done that, and then the buck never came back. So I try not to do that a whole lot. Normally, if I see a track like that, I'll track him out until I think I know where he's about to bed. Then I'll just find a place to glass from, and then sit there until he gets up from his bed. And sometimes you don't see him. Sometimes you just see a track and you don't know what he is. But you know there's a big buck in that area.
Dang. So are you finding like new bucks every year, or do you feel like a lot of the bucks you guys kill are like multi-year things?
We'll pick up a few new bucks each year. A lot of the times, like, I kind of keep a pretty good catalog of bucks. Like, sometimes I'll see a buck that looks young, that's, you know, 160, 170, but I know he's young, and it'll be, a few years will go by, and sometimes it's during hunt. There's times where I hadn't seen a buck in a couple years, and we'll just be driving through that area, and, you know, I'll have a hunter in truck. I'll be like, hey, you know what, there's a buck that was living in here a few years ago that, you know, had some good potential. Let's stop right here and do some glassing or check out what's going on in this area, and then we'll pick him back up. And yeah, in that few years, he turned into something good, turned into a shooter.
I see. And,
yeah. And my brother, my older brother, he's kind of mentioned that a few times to me. He's like, man, how do you remember that? I'm like, I don't know. I'll just be driving through an area, you know, and just like, you know, I remember seeing a good buck in here. I wonder if he's still alive. Let's go check it out. And, you know, majority of the time, you don't see him, but sometimes it pans out. It's like, oh, you know, dang, he is still here. Nobody's touched him.
Yeah. So it kind of seems, I mean, I was looking through your Instagram, and that big, like, 33-inch buck you guys killed, it looked like you had, like, multiple years off him. Can you kind of, like, go into that story a little bit?
Yeah, so I ended up finding that buck, I think it's 2016 or 2017, one of those years right there. And I was helping out some governor's tag guys, and so I just out looking, bouncing around. I mean, the rut, that time of year, it's my favorite time to be out. Just the bucks come out of the trees, and that's whenever you find some, you know, a lot of new bucks. So I was just out bouncing around, and he was just standing on the side of the road running some does, and he was, I mean, I thought he was an older buck whenever I seen him. Like, might have just been the time of year. He's real puffed up and everything, and he was, I mean, he laid like straight out. Like, his horns were like pretty flat, but he was, you know, I could tell he was way over 30, and you know, and just a cool buck to see. You know, he wasn't a high scoring buck, but we don't really focus on score a ton. Like, you know, there's certain hunts where in certain years where if you get good horn growth and everything, it's like, yeah, let's focus on score. But, you know, a big buck is a big buck. You know, if he's 30-something wide, that's a big buck. It may not be the buck you want to shoot, but it's still a big buck. And, you know, and that's kind of how that buck was at first. Yeah, I was just like, man, that's a cool buck. You know, he's super wide. And then, so the following season, I went back in there to try to look for him to see what he turned into, and never saw him scouting. I mean, that buck, he was a hard buck to scout. You really had to go in after him to find him. And so the first year, I think we turned him up. So the first year we turned him up, he was still a big 3x3. And then we had two hunters on that hunt. And my brother, John Hampton, he was guiding the other hunter. And I went into, there was a ridge that he liked to live on. And I just went in there, kind of looked at the tracks and, you know, saw a big buck track and was like, yeah, you know, that could possibly be him. So me and my hunter, we decided to kind of walk out on this point and just see what we can see. I mean, I watched the buck kind of drop down, and it was kind of a perfect situation right there where, you know, we're above the buck. I'm like, okay, he come off the top and he dropped off this ridge. So we just kind of stopped there, and I told him, I was like, well, if he's down there, he probably already knows we're here. So I told him, you know, kind of be ready, go ahead and get on your shooting sticks, and let's just wait and see what happens. And then sure enough, them big bucks like that, they'll test your patience, and sometimes you just got to sit there and wait for them. A lot of times they know they're there, you know. A mule deer will, you know, they survive by hiding. So an elk will survive on running. Yeah, they don't. They'll let you walk right by them. I mean, we've had bucks that let us walk, you know, within 10 yards of them, and they won't move if they don't think you see them, and you'll walk right by them. And kind of what this buck was doing, he's kind of just testing us out, seeing what we was doing. Plus, in this area up here, there's a lot of oil-filled traffic, kind of a lot of people out in the woods. So that, I think, kind of turns them up where a little bit too, where, you know, they get a lot of people that kind of just walk by and just don't notice them. But
okay.
You sit on them, sit on top of them long enough, eventually their nerves are going to crack. And could be 30 seconds. It could be, I mean, there's been times where I've been within 100 yards of a buck and, you know, he's just sitting there for 10 minutes and before he decides to get up and run off. And this buck, he sat there a couple minutes, and then finally I caught a glimpse of movement come out of from behind a tree, and you know, he took off running. He ended up you know, it was a quick shot for the hunter. He took a whack at him and missed. But my brother was kind of completely on the other side of the unit, so he wasn't much help to us right then. He had a long drive to come, because that's one of the ways we hunt. Like, if we have two hunters there, and we find a big buck, and that big buck's on his feet, we call the other, you know, we call the other people in and say, hey, we're gonna team hunt this buck. Like,
yeah,
our chances are better of killing him with, you know, if we got a team after him. If we try to go after him by ourselves, our chances of killing him are going to be slim to none, because we're going to get far away from the buck or far away from the truck, and this buck's going to take us for a run. And so we started tracking. I, you know, called my brother and told him, hey, go ahead and head this way. We got a big buck up on his feet. I was like, it's that big 3x3. I was like, let's go get him. And so we got on the track. We started following him, and this buck, he liked to, it's not normal for most bucks, but this buck liked to bed in washes. So whenever we're chasing him, like, he'd drop into a wash, and that's where we kept jumping out of. And it's surprising me, because usually they like to, if they know you're on their track, they want to see you coming normally. This buck was doing the complete opposite. He was tucking in little bitty holes, and we were just walking right up on him, and he'd jump up in front of us 20 yards and take off.
And, so, you know,
catches completely off guard. And, so it's kind of throwing me off a little bit at the beginning, watching him do that, because at first I thought it was kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
And then finally my brother got there, and me and my hunter, we had already went a couple miles, and we already kind of taken a few shots at him. When my brother got there, we switched spots. Me and my hunter got back in the truck, and then my brother jumped, and his hunter jumped on the track. Or actually, I believe he left his hunter on a point or something like that. This was, you know, probably 2019 or so, whenever this is going on, or 2020, something like that.
Uh-huh.
My brother gets on the track, and he's actually got video of it. He was walking in down the wash, and he sees the track kind of turned into a little cut in the side of the wash. And, you know, typically, you know, he is thinking the same way I would, is, you know, I probably just went up that crack and popped out, and, you know, he's probably not right there. But my brother kind of turned the corner right there, and he looked, and he could see the tips of the buck's antlers.
No.
And my brother's 3 yards. 3 yards from this buck. And the buck's just, you know, he knows he's being hunted, so he just crouched down in this little cut. And, you know, the video's cool because, you know, my brother pulls his phone out and you could see it. And then you kind of see the buck kind of lift his head. And then you could see that buck's eyes just, you know, get huge. He couldn't believe my brother was standing right on top of him. But unfortunately, we didn't have a gun with him right there because we thought the buck was going to be, you know, usually they'll run a couple miles. Well, this buck wasn't running a couple miles. He was, he'd run probably like a quarter mile to a half mile and then just pull up. And so it kind of, that kind of caught us off guard. Like these bucks, as we're chasing them like that, we'll like learn them. Like they each have kind of individual habits. So you kind of got to learn that buck as you're chasing them. And yeah, like this one, it, you know, we chased this buck for years. So, that's kind of what helped us get him in the end also. So he jumped up out of the, once he saw my brother, he jumped up out of the wash and, my brother told us which way he's heading and everything. And, that year right there, we just never connected on him. I think we missed that buck, I believe it was 13 times that day.
How big was he that year? Like, was he bigger than when you read found him?
No. He was a little bit bigger than whenever I found him. He wasn't quite as wide because he didn't quite lay out like he was. He started to turn up more. So he wasn't quite as wide, but he was taller, and he added some mass to him. He was pretty spindly the first year I seen him.
Okay.
And, And so, yeah, that year we ended up just, and I think, yeah, that was the last day that we found that buck. So it ended up getting dark and we missed him a couple times right there before last light. And that was it, you know, and it was a long day. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I think we took that buck probably 20 to 25 miles that day because we started on him first thing in the morning.
Wow.
And, you know, and, but as you're chasing, you know, as you're following those deer like that, you really learn that buck because they're going to take you to where they, you know, their homes. They have separate homes where they go to, places they like to be. So, you know, we got to learn a lot that year about him. And then, the next time we found him, he actually moved on me. We had seen him earlier while he was in velvet, and then we went back during the rifle season, and I could still see his tracks. He was running with another buck, and I could still see his tracks out there, and I didn't see anything within any tracks within the last 2 days. Everything was 3 days, 4 days, 5 days old, and I was like, man, how come I'm not seeing, you know, the today track, you know, what's going on here? And we hunted that spot. I just figured I was missing it, or maybe he hadn't moved. And I'm like, okay, you know, his tracks are still here, so he's got to be right here somewhere. And I ended up kind of pulling the plug on that area right there, because I mean, I think we spent a whole day right there. I think even the next morning I went back in there and looked, and I'm like, okay, we should have found him by now, or I should have at least cut his track. And after hunting these bucks for so long, like I can kind of pick out a track from a particular buck. When you follow a buck for 15, 20 miles, each buck has an independent, kind of like a thumbprint.
Yeah.
Each track is different. So once you kind of can figure that out, it definitely helps. So that buck, like I kind of had a pretty good idea what his track looked like. And I started kind of thinking about it, and I was like, okay, what's this buck doing, you know? And then it's the rifle season, so I was like, you know, it's kind of getting closer to the rut, and I knew where he rutted because of where I found him in 2016 or 17, whichever year that was. So I knew where he rutted, so I'm like, you know, I wonder if he's going to start moving his way towards where he likes to rut. So I told the hunter, I was like, you know, we're going to go a couple miles north and to the next kind of ridge out there, and I was like, and see if we find him there. So I believe it was the next, yeah, it was the that evening or the next morning, I can't remember, but anyway, we just kind of went up this two track, and I'm just at this point I'm kind of looking for tracks. I'm just trying to find his track more than I'm trying to find him. I need to figure out where he moved to, and I started seeing some buck tracks. I'm like, oh, you know, this is a good sign. I was like, I think, you know, he might be here. And then about the time we're seeing the tracks, all of a sudden my hunter goes, hey man, there's a big buck standing right there. And I look out the window and there he is, you know, he's standing 150 yards, just standing out there, broadside. And, this year he actually had kickers and, I want to say he might've had a split kicker. I can't remember. It was the first year. It was the only year he had kickers. Like, I don't know why he grew them that year, but yeah, he had them. And, you know, so the hunter jumps out of the truck and, the buck was staying pretty calm for some reason. I don't know if it's cause he had another buck with him or what, but yeah, the hunter jumps out of the truck, gets on his sticks and, knocks a chunk of hair off of his butt. I mean,
no,
left a, yeah, left a tear. I'm looking through the binos and I could see a hair fly up and I was like, man, I was like, you hit him. I was like, I don't know where you hit him, but I was like, you hit him. I was like, but he didn't really act hit. I was like, because I watched him for a minute take off. And, you know, and this hunter was pretty confident in his shooting. But one thing I've learned is big bucks can rouse some people up. And, you know, and that guy, you know, the hunter was just really mad at himself. You know, he's like, man, he is apologizing stuff. And I tell hunters, never apologize for missing. I know you didn't miss on purpose. So, you know, it's all right. We'll get him. And, you know, so the buck takes off. Well, now the chase is on again. And I'm not looking forward to chasing this deer because he's already, from the year prior, you know, he's already won that battle once. And
yeah.
So I was like, man, here we go again. So, you know, I call my brother up again. I was like, hey, man, I was like, we found that buck again. I was like, come out. I was like, I need you. And so he comes out and, yeah, we start tracking him again. And this year it was pretty dry and there's a lot of cattle and horses and stuff in the area. And so we, and he was taking us right through those tracks. I mean, he was walking on rocks and I mean, it was really slow going on tracking. I mean, sometimes you'd lose his track for a couple hundred yards and then you'd have to pick it back up in those five. Sometimes you're just picking up a toe print, like just the tips of his hoof. And you're like, well, that's probably him because there's not a whole lot of deer in this area. So we're going to go with that. And then kind of the same thing as the time before we chased him. He liked those washes. He liked to be low and hide. And it took me a while to finally catch up to him. I mean, from the time we jumped him to where we're to finally getting him back up, I mean, I want to say it's like 5 or 6 hours because it was just that slow of tracking. I mean, then he went into a pond. He went and got a drink at a pond, and there was cattle all around the pond. So, I mean, that's what makes it tough, you know. So you completely lose the track coming into the pond.
Yeah.
Cattle already stomped it all out. And so we ended up finding the track kind of going. I wasn't quite sure if it's him, but I just kind of went on kind of a whim there and was like, you know, let's see what this turns out. And then as I started following, I'm like, dude, I think this is him. So my brother actually had the hunter and was up ahead of me. And as I'm following him, I end up walking up on this buck. He's probably 5 or 6 yards away. I just turn, he starts getting in this real tight wash. And I just turn the corner and me and that buck just lock eyes. And,
no way.
And it's cool whenever you're that close to him, you know. And you know, we look eyes and his eyes, you know, his eyes get as big as baseballs. And, and then I get excited too and, you know, start getting on the phone. I'm like, and, you know, yelling because they're not too far away. So I'm yelling, here he comes, you know, he's coming out. And, you know, the hunter wasn't able to connect on that one either. And,
my gosh.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, they're tough shots, so we don't really give them too much grief about it. But, so we, Yeah, and he ended up getting away that year too. Ended up getting dark on us, and I think we had one more day left, but I never could pick the track back up again after that. And that could have been the last day also. That I'm trying to remember these. This is years ago, but then he kind of disappeared on me. I thought maybe he had gotten killed or something, because I already thought he was kind of an older buck, and I didn't see him for a couple years. And but this last year in 23, I went into that area, and I just haven't seen another big buck track right there where he kind of lived on that ridge. And I was like, I wonder if that's him. I wonder if he's still around. I was thinking he was dead. Like I, you know, we hadn't seen him in a couple of years. I don't know if he's just living in different places or what, or, but I was thinking that he was gone. And so during the hunt, it was just during the rifle hunt again, we had two guys who applied together and and so it works out a lot better if you got two buddies, that are hunting there, because they're cheering each other on. And first day of the hunt, my brother's kicking our butt. We stay in pretty good contact with each other throughout the hunt, and kind of talk to each other about the deer movement and stuff, because sometimes one guy's seeing bucks and another guy's not, and that's why we'll communicate, because I'm like, man, are they just not moving today, or are you seeing stuff? And my brother, yeah, I think he him and his hunter, they saw multiple bucks that morning. It's just nothing that they really wanted to kill the first day. And me and my hunter are getting ghosted. We haven't seen a buck or a doe yet. And I'm like, man, this is no good. I'm like, we're getting smoked today. They're seeing all kinds of deer, and we can't even turn up a doe. And they're over there passing up bucks. So I told the guys, like, yeah, no, I was like, let's go back out to this ridge. I was like, I want to see if this buck is still out there. And we drive out to the ridge, and it's midday now, and I was like, let's go just take a little walk. I didn't see any tracks on the way in there, and so I was like, let's go for a little walk and just see. As soon as I get out of the truck, like within 20 yards of the truck, I see a fresh buck track, and then I kind of follow it for a minute. And I could tell that's where his track is, last evening's track, where he was heading out, probably heading out to go get water. And so but as I'm following that last night's track, I started noticing, I'm like, there's a lot of his other tracks in there from days prior. So I'm like, okay, this buck's living here. I was like, we need to get out of here. So we back out, we go to the truck, and from the truck, I look, and I'm like, okay, where can I see this ridge really good? And I see a spot out there. I'm like, it's gonna be a long ways away, but I was like, I just need to get eyes on him. That's all I need. I'm not worried about killing him right now or anything like that. With big mule deer, the hardest thing is getting eyes on him. Once you do that, I feel like, you got 75% of the game won. And so that evening, we go sit up where we could see pretty much most of that ridge, and probably about 45 minutes before dark, that buck, I see him just standing on a hill. Like, he wasn't moving. I'm just like, what did I see? I think I saw like his horns first. I was like, man, that almost looks like a rack. And then I just kind of followed it down, and I know it's a neck and a body, and I'm like, holy crap, that's him.
No.
I'm like, it's him. And the hunter's like, what? And I'm like, that is him. I was like, I guarantee it. And I'm looking through 15s, and we're probably at least a mile out from this ridge. I throw the spotting scope on, and I zoom it in on him, and I look, and I'm like, yeah, that's him. That's that buck. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, he's still alive. And then he turned, and whenever he turned, I was like, man, this is the biggest I've ever seen him. Like, in the years that he disappeared from us, he was doing some growing. And because now he goes, he's going up, he's going out. The only thing he's missing was, because now he's a 3x4, so now he's missing a G3 now. And but a buck that size, I was like, yeah, we're going after this guy. That's just a giant deer. But what he scores doesn't matter at this point. That is a giant deer. And so I was like, you know, we got time. I was like, I wasn't expecting on actually hunting him that night, but I was like 45 minutes, and I kind of looked at the terrain. I was like, man, if we can dip down in this wash, if we can get to that wash without being seen from him, I was like, I think we got this game won. I was like, there's a nice little knoll out there. We can climb up on the backside of that knoll, and we're going to have him. I was like, we're going to kill this deer tonight. And sure enough, we get down in the wash without being seen, and we're hoofing it. We're moving. And we climb up that knoll. We kind of take a breath before we peek over, catch our breath, and then I peek over, and I don't see him. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. You know, these bucks, they tend to do that. You know, they'll just disappear on you. Sometimes they get up and then lay back down until it gets dark. So I'm thinking maybe that's what he did. Like, man, he probably laid back down. So the hunter gets set up on a rock and everything, and then it's getting close to dark, and all of a sudden he kind of pokes his head out. And there's sagebrush there. In the spotting scope, I could see a little bit of shoulder, but with it being, you know, getting close to dark, I think we had, like, you know, 15 minutes of shooting light left. The hunter was having a hard time, like, picking a hole through the sagebrush, because all he could see was half of his neck up, and we're at 500 yards away.
Oh, okay.
And, he's like, man, I'm not comfortable with that. And I'm like, no. I was like, a buck like this, I was like, I don't think we want to take that shot. I was like, he has no idea we're here. I was like, and he ain't going nowhere. I was like, he's been on this ridge for years. So I was like, he ain't going to go anywhere. I was like, I think our best bet's just to back out. And that's kind of unusual for me. I'm a really aggressive hunter. So, you know, and I hate walking away from deer. Like, whenever we find a big buck, I want to kill him now.
Especially that deer, how you've been after him for so long, and he's hard to find.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, this buck right here, he just kind of gave me, you know, I was like, you know, knowing this buck that he's been here, I was like, he's not going to go anywhere. If I didn't know that buck, we probably would have tried something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know how many times that's happened where, you know, you find a buck and then you back out, then you go back in and you never see him again, you know. And sometimes that just happens. And so I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want to back out, but I'm like, I think this time it's the smarter move. And so we back out, you know, and I can barely sleep that night because I kind of get, you know, with these bucks, I get pretty competitive with them. Like, if they survive, they get away from me, I kind of take it personal.
Yeah.
I don't like it, you know, so I can't hardly sleep that night, especially a deer like this where I've been after him for so many years. And next morning we go out, and my brother has his hunter there. We were like, okay, we're all going to go over there, and we're going to, you know, kind of surround this ridge, and we're going to catch him moving. And we all start off together, and we send one of my guides, Kalen Benally, young kid, super good eyes. I mean, this kid, he'll take out a fly a mile away. He's got some really good eyes. And so we sent him way out and way far away from the ridge where he can see everything and or kind of the backside, the stuff that we can't see. But so we kind of got it covered. And then once the sun came up, and we probably sat there 30 minutes, and then I started getting nervous. I'm like, man, I'm like, we should be seeing him already. I'm like, I don't like this. So I told my brother, I was like, you know, I'm going to circle back around. I'm going to go get up above him. I was like, maybe he's up on top and we just can't see up there. So I get in the truck. I start driving around to get on that ridge, and I'm about halfway there. And my brother finally calls and says, hey, I got him.
And no way.
Just right there, you know. Yeah, just right there, you know. It's just a huge sensory relief, pretty much. You know, so I'm like, okay, you know, like, this buck's going to die today. Like, it's over. But I've already said that a couple times about this buck, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, but this time I'm like, we're getting this thing buck. I'm tired of hunting him. I'm ready to put my hands on him. And so we circle back around to get behind him. My brother and MK, they're keeping an eye on him. And we as we get on the backside, we park the truck a long ways away. I'm like, I'm not taking no chances. I don't want them to know we're here. So we parked far enough away that I know he couldn't hear my truck or hear us coming. And as we're going in, we're sneaking in, all of a sudden I just see a truck come bouncing down the road, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's another hunter. I mean, and it's not normal for a hunter to be out in this area. So I'm like, what in the heck? What are the odds of that? You know, this guy's driving up out on this point. Well, and then I happened to look, and it happens to be one of my good buddies, Jeremy Duggar.
Oh, and, no, you don't want him out there.
Yeah. And then, you know, and Jeremy's, he's known for killing big mule deer. And I'm like, that's not the guy you want to see on the ridge with you at the same time. You know, it's like, holy crap. So, I get on the phone with my brother, and I'm like, man, Jeremy's right here. I was like, no, I'm just going to call him real quick. And I called Jeremy, and his daughter, Morgan, answers. Jeremy was already out of the truck, and she's like, hey, what's going on, Anthony? And I was like, hey, where's your dad at? And she's like, oh, he's right here. He just stepped out of the truck to look at a track or something like that. And he gets on. He's like, hey, what's going on? I was like, Jeremy, I'm like, you're right between me and a big buck. I was like, you're parked right on top. I'm like, you're parked right on top of the man. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, my brother's got eyes on him right now. I was like, we're stalking in. I'm like, I'm right outside your window. And, you know, Jeremy's a really cool dude. And he's like, dude, let me get out of your hair. He's like, do you want me to just stay here? Do you want me to move? Do you want me to get out? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, I don't know. I was like, let me do what my brother thinks. I was like, I'm not sure what we need to do here. And and I even told him, like, if you look out past your window, I was like, you might be able to even see him. And but he couldn't. And the way the terrain was, it was real flat, so our depth perception was pretty far off. He was actually not even right on top of the buck. So I think he was still about 200 yards away from the deer, but from my brother's angle, it looked like he was right on top of him.
Yeah.
But Jeremy ends up backing out for us, and, you know, and, yeah, we really appreciated that. And, you know, I've done some hunting with Jeremy and stuff too, so, you know, we got good respect for each other out there. And so he backs out, you know, and now, you know, my heart is kind of starting to settle down because that got me going. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so this is happening to us right now. So we get back with the stock, but my brother, the buck ended up dipping off into a little cut, and he has no idea. Like, he has a pretty good idea of where he's at, but not exactly where he's at. And so now it's kind of raising some questions, you know. And so we go sneaking in there. My brother's like, you know, the last place I seen him was in that hole. He's like, that's all I can tell you. And so we take off our shoes, you know, we're sneaking in there as quiet as we can. It's real rocky. And I get to the edge of just this little pocket. I mean, it's 80 yards across this pocket. And my brother, you know, he's like, you should be seeing him. Like, he's like, I don't know how you're not seeing him. He's like, he hasn't come out of there.
No.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I'm like, I don't know how. I'm like, I don't know why I'm not seeing him. I was like, we're right here. And, you know, I just told the hunter, I was like, get on the stick so I can be ready. I was like, turn your scope all the way down. It's going to be close. And we probably sit there 15, 20 minutes. And, and I just got to believe he's in this hole. Like, part of me thinking, you know, he snuck out. Somehow he snuck out on my brother. But because I can pretty much see everything. I mean, I'm glassing into stuff that's, you know, 80 yards away into bushes, just trying to see if I could find something. And then my brother ends up giving me a call, and he's like, hey, he's up. He's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where? And he goes, he's right there in front of you. He's like, how are you not seeing him? He's got to be, you know, like, he's like, it looks like he's 50 yards in front of you. And, you know, now I'm freaking out, you know, on the inside.
Yeah.
I'm staying calm. You know, I've learned how to stay calm on the outside with the hunters, you know, because if I get crazy on the outside, the hunter, it shakes up the hunters a lot of times. So, you know, I'm on the inside, I'm going crazy, and I'm like, all right, how am I not seeing this buck? He says he's right here in front of me. Like, I don't know how. And then finally we see, I pick up some tines moving, and there was just a little hole that was about the size of a Volkswagen that he was bedded in. And he starts kind of feeding out, but we got bushes and trees, and we're just seeing bits and pieces of him. And, you know, the hunter's got him in the scope, but, you know, right now all we can see is head and horns. And he's sitting there eating on some bigger brush. And I mean, we probably sat there for probably 5 minutes with him feeding without being able to get a shot. And finally, I told him, I was like, hey, man, first chance you get, you dump him. Because our wind is not very far off from where he's at. I mean, our wind's got to be missing him by like 20 yards. So any slight wind change in this buck, we're going to be on the chase again. And I'm like, and I don't want to chase this buck. That's like, it's the last buck I want to chase. This guy just happens to win every time. I don't want to do that again. He wins that game. And yeah, finally the buck stepped forward just enough, and the guy was like, you know, I can see, or he didn't tell me. I mean, I was just pretty much ready. Like, I plugged my ears, but he told me afterwards, like, what he saw. But basically, that buck stepped forward just enough where he could see the base of the neck, where the shoulder and the neck come together, and he's like, that's good enough. And I mean, this was a 60, 70 yard shot or something like that. So he shoots, buck dumps, and
no way.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, finally, you know, like, after all these years, we're finally gonna get to touch his buck.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we knew he was big and everything, but like, whenever we walked up on him, it was just like another kind of like, man, that, even though he's a three on one side, who cares? Like, he was just a, you know, cool buck, just wide and heavy. And the buck still, I mean, as a 3x4, he still went 191, you know.
No way.
And yeah, and I think he's even missing an eye guard too on one side. If I remember right. Yeah, I think he's even missing an eye guard on one side. So yeah, missing 2 points, he still went 191.
That's like,
no, that yeah. So yeah, that buck, he kind of put us through the ringer and had some sleepless nights because of him. And you know, like I said, it's not so much because of his size, but a lot of it was because he beat me a couple times, or beat me and my brother. And that doesn't happen too often whenever we find a buck. Me and my older brother, we started hunting at the same time. And whenever we were younger, we didn't even hardly carry binos around. We didn't glass, we didn't do anything like that. That's just how we hunted. We just find a track, and you find a fresh track 100% of the time, there's going to be an animal at the end of that track. So,
yeah,
that was our most efficient way of hunting. But then as we got older, you know, we kind of started slowing down and realizing you can cover a lot of ground with glass and doing different things. So we don't want to go chasing them anymore. We like to kill them the easy way and just glass them up and take them.
Yeah.
Go that route first. But if we have to, yeah, we will jump on a track and we'll go.
That's so crazy. It's crazy how long ago you found him. Like, you think that was like a 9-10 year old deer, or like,
he was an old buck. I think whenever I first found him, he was probably 3 or 4-ish is, I think, was what I figured. And then he was up there in that 10-11 year old fire range, I think.
That's incredible. And then
that
many times too. Like, you guys probably shot at him like 15+ times throughout the years.
Yeah, I think I ended up counting them all up, and it was close to 20 times we had shot at that deer.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and there's just been a handful of bucks that we've had like that, like that just managed just not to get hit. There was a buck years ago that kind of the same story as that one, except for this one regressed. This one got bigger, but that one regressed. And whenever I first found him, he was, I think that one was like a four or five year hunt for that buck. And each year he kind of got smaller. I think he grew 1 year. He went from like 200 to like 210 typical. And then after he went from 210, he started dropping back down, and we ended up killing him whenever he had like in the 180s. And that buck right there, you know, I could pick his track out. Just, I mean, I could drive down the road and be like, there he is, you know, that's him. And but he was smart. He had our number. And then whenever we did good opportunities at him. Yeah, the opportunities were just missed. And I mean, we had some good opportunities at him, like, you know, 100 yards standing still broadside and shoot over the back, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and that's what I like about like mule deer hunting is, you know, them bucks are just smart and they just have a way of dodging bullets and arrows. I don't know what it is, but they can do it.
That's so cool. One thing I kind of like picked up too is just like I've hunted out there in New Mexico a few times, and it seems like the people who consistently kill big deer out there are like super good trackers, but then they can also glass, like they kind of have every trick in their bag. And I think that's kind of like what makes the difference, because it seems like there's like a group of you guys that consistently kill big deer, and then it doesn't seem like many other people really kill big deer, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, yeah, it's just, and plus these units up here, I mean, it's just tough to get tags. I mean, we're, you know, kind of lucky, and we tend to get the hunters each year and get to consistently go out there and do that, because that's what you got to do, like, for these deer. That's walking into these units and trying to kill a big deer is tough. Like, us being able to consistently go in there year after year and just have a catalog of those bucks of, okay, you know, this buck's been living here for so many years, and this buck's over here, and you know, you'll lose bucks over the years. Sometimes they just disappear and you never see them again. We've had that happen, but just keeping a good track of bucks from year to year is kind of what helps us out a lot. It's just being able to be in those units every year.
And,
so yeah, that definitely plays a good part of it. And whenever I was younger, I mean, that's what I did. I ran those hills. I was actually grew up more of an elk hunter because deer tags were so hard to get that you didn't get to hunt them. So, so I was an elk hunter. I liked elk hunting, but whenever I first started guiding the outfitter that I started with, he needed a deer guide, and I'm like, man, I'm an elk guy. And all it took was a couple big bucks of, or me killing a couple big bucks with some hunters, and yeah, I was hooked after that. It was like, yeah. I like hunting elk in the rut, but because I get asked that question quite a bit, what do you like hunting, better elk or deer? I'm like, the reward is better with the big deer. I was like, elk hunting is funner, you know, whenever they're hunting or whenever they're screaming, you know, there's nothing like that, you know, it's fun. But I guess there's more of a sense of accomplishment killing a big giant deer for me.
yeah, big deer. I feel like it.
Yeah.
And then another thing I noticed, too, like, with your stories is, like, you seem to always, like, keep a positive attitude. I think that's actually, like, a big deal in hunting big deer, especially, like, with your clients. Like, what kind of, like, motivated to keep going, especially, like, on those, like, 20-plus mile days when you're tracking them and things aren't working out?
We're just competitive. We don't like to lose. It's like, I don't want to let them get away, you know, so, and, you know, we're all in pretty good shape, you know, so we can just keep going and know whenever the hunter gets tired, you know, we'll switch out, you know, have another guy jump on the track and let them get a turn. And, you know, we kind of explain that to the hunters too, you know, like, hey, you know, we kind of go our separate ways in the mornings and evenings and try to, you know, do our own hunts. But if we find a big buck, like, it's not time to be greedy. Like your chance, your personal chance of getting at this buck is better with another hunter here. Like it's kind of a, yeah. So we don't do a whole lot of one-on-one. I mean, we do kill bucks, you know, where you just glass one up and, you know, you kill them and you don't need help. But we got a really good team up here. Like the guys that I got working for me are freaking awesome, and that's what helps is we don't keep secrets from each other. We tell each other everything. Like sometimes the guy ain't even there, but he'll be on the phone with us, and he, you know, and he'll, whatever knowledge he knows about that area or that particular buck, whatever, he'll start spilling it, you know. And and it just helps. I mean, the more you know, the better. So
yeah,
we just work together really well on that. And we don't have any, like, I guess, greediness. Like, if one of us kills a big buck, we all kill a big buck. We're all happy. It doesn't matter which guide it was, which hunter it was. It's, we all just killed this big buck.
Yeah.
And we're all getting a picture and getting our hands on this buck.
That's sweet. Oh, I know I've had you a lot, a little bit. Do you have one time for one more story?
Yeah, we can talk about, I guess, my personal best buck. I mean, my you know, that one right there was kind of, you know, it was pretty special because I never, you know, could have a tag, you know. So, and, you know, and I've taken, you know, several people out and killed, you know, 200-inch deer, these big deer, and I don't have one. I didn't have one for myself. So whenever I got the tag that year, yeah, it was actually a transfer tag. Yeah, so I found my buck, I think it was July, I want to say July 30th or 31st. I had my daughter with me, and this is in 2019, whenever, I mean, that year was probably hands down the best year I had ever seen in my guiding career. And just big bucks, and they were just everywhere. And,
yeah.
It seemed like it for me anyway. Like every time I was seeing 180, 190s, 200s. I mean, that in 2019 we killed 5 200-inch bucks, two bucks, two or three bucks in the 190s, and another few bucks in the 180s. Like the year was just crazy. And we even on that year, we killed three 200-inch deer in 3 days on rifle hunt.
No way.
Yeah. We took. Yeah, the first buck, he went right at 200, and he was broke though. He had already broke off his G4, unless he would have probably been closer to about 208 to 210. And Chad Taylor, my guide there, he'd been with me the longest, and he was taking that hunter, and they killed that buck opening morning, and then second day, me and my hunter killed a 211. And then the third day, my brother and his hunter killed a 205 typical.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was just that year just went flawlessly. It was just one of those years you dream of, and
yeah,
hasn't been like that since. But this year, it's shaping out to be a good year this year. So we're hoping for another one of those.
Do you think it's looking pretty good this year?
It's looking really good this year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's the rains hit just in the nick of time. Like, it was starting to dry out. And, you know, I've been kind of keeping track with the horn growth and stuff and how, you know, what affects what. And, you know, that, it's just that springtime moisture. Like, it's not so much July and August or anything like that. By then, it's too late.
Yeah.
You want that. You want green grass right there in April. Or March, April, May. And then if you got green grass going through June, it's going to be a good year. And that's the way it's shaped out now. I mean, about the time is kind of starting to, the green is starting to fade. We got some big storms come through, and I mean, it just looks good out there. And we haven't seen that. Or we've had some later rains where going into the hunts, it was real green. And so the hunters, you know, they'll be like, man, it looks like no horn growth should be good. I'm like, well, it was brown whenever they're growing. So it looks good out here, but the horn growth isn't what it isn't that good. You know, cause there's years where we go into the hunts, and I'll tell like my hunters that too. Like, I'll tell you what kind of year we're going into by, you know, usually by August. I'll know what, how things are shaping up. And, on the really good years, I mean, we'll pass up, you know, 190-inch bucks.
Wow.
I got several 200-inch bucks spotted. We'll walk away from a 190-inch buck. I did make a mistake one year. I walked away from me and my hunter walked away from a 205 opening morning.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, sometimes I can be an idiot, but I had buck that was like 220 to 230, you know, and it's opening.
Oh, okay.
This buck's down there, and it was hard, and I, yeah, the hunter was kind of looking at me like I was dumb, and I was like, yeah, I probably am, but, you know, can't, you know, you can't kill that giant if you're, you know, this one's a giant too, but yeah, you can't, there's one I want to get.
And, yeah.
Yeah, we never found him, but we ended up getting another shot at that 205, though. He got on the last evening of his hunt, we had the buck at, I think, like 170 yards in his bed, and he shot just under him or just over him. So I was at least able to make up. It's actually a better shot than what he was going to get opening morning. So I was able to kind of redeem myself a little bit like that because yeah, I was kind of starting to panic and feel like an idiot. But going back to that, like 2019 and like that year right there, whenever I found my buck, I had my daughter just happened to go scouting with me, and she is right at first light, and she's passed out in the passenger seat, and I see some bucks moving through a sage flat, and I jump out and take a look, and you know, right away, you know, that buck's just, you know, he just got kickers and just cool stuff everywhere. So as soon as I see that, like, you know, my heart starts pounding, you know, and I'm trying to wake up my daughter. I'm like, hey, you know, get out here, look at this buck, look what I just found. Like,
and, yeah,
you know, and I videoed him all morning, you know, and she's, you know, I think at that time, I think she's 12 or 13 years old. Yeah, somewhere right in there. And, you know, so she's not too interested. She comes out, goes, she's like, oh yeah, you know, that's cool. I'm like, no, that's, you don't see bucks like that very often. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, get more excited. I need somebody to be excited with.
Yeah.
You know, and then I remember like thinking about that buck. I'm like, man, that's like my dream buck right there. I'm like, and I didn't have a tag. I had a muzzleloader hunter book, and so I'm like, we're going after that buck. Like, I mean, that's the buck we're going after. And going into that muzzleloader hunt, I had at least 8 bucks for sure going over 200 inches.
No,
that's why that 2019 was like just a special year. You know, but that buck, you know, had my eyes. So what ended up happening was that hunter ended up calling me. I can't remember if he got like in a 4-wheel accident or a car accident or something, but his back was all jacked up, and he called me. He's like, man, I'm not going to be able to make the hunt. And this is 2 weeks before the hunt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way, dude. I was like, you're coming. You're the only hunter I got for that hunt. And I was like, I haven't actually hadn't been watching that buck. I stayed away from him. That buck scared me. So I stayed away from him. I just went and found other bucks. I'm like, I'm just going to look for backup bucks. I know he's here. I'm just not even going to go back. And then actually one of my guys, Mark Levine, I was heading for an antelope hunt in August, and he called me. He's like, hey, man, I found your buck. And I was like, no, you didn't. And he sends me a video, and he got, like, just great video. He snuck up to, like, 100 yards or something like that and just had the buck feeding on me. Just, yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, especially since he ended up killing him. So now, you know, you got that video of him, this perfect video. My video was quite a ways away. So it was just awesome that he sent that to me, and I'm like, heck yeah. I was like, well, he's still there, you know, same spot. And we hadn't really noticed anybody else in there, it didn't seem like. And there was a lot of other deer in there too. There was a lot of bucks in there. whenever that guy called me and said he couldn't make the hunt, like, I was like, no, dude, you got to come. And he's like, dude, he's like, my back is jacked up. I can't walk. And I was like, can you ride in a truck? Like,
yeah.
I need you here. You know, I'm like, we'll do what we got to do. You know, I don't know. Like, I need you to get down here. It's 2 weeks before the hunt. I was like, and I got all these bucks. Like, and I, you know, I'm not, so now I'm like sending them pictures and videos, and I'm like, look, dude, like, this is what you're going to come hunt. Come on. And
yeah.
He's like, dude, I can't even sit on a couch without being in pain. You know, he's like, there's no way I could even all ride in a truck with a, you know, on a dirt road. And you know, so I was like, well, I guess, you know, we'll just have to call the game fish and see what we can do. I didn't know what they would let us do or not do. So I called the game fish, and the guy at the game fish back then was a really cool dude. And I kind of told him what's going on. I was like, hey, man, you know, I got this hunter. He's the only hunter I got for this week. And, like, this is a special tag on a special year. And he was like, so once I told him what was going on with the hunter, he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, well, have him go, you know, I need a, you know, certified doctor's note and all that. And, you know, he's like, and then we'll let him transfer the tag to whoever he wants.
No.
I was like, well, I was like, since he drew, I was like, so since he drew as a non-resident, I was like, it has to go to non-resident. And I already caught wind that you might be able to do this. So I already made a couple phone calls to a couple guys, other hunters that hunted with me in the past. And I already made a couple calls with them. I was like, hey, there might be an opportunity to come up. Like, I'll let you know what happens. You
yeah.
Know? And that was kind of a mistake on my part a little bit, because yeah, once that guy told me, he's like, yeah, he can go to anybody he wants, and I was like, well, since he's non-resident, doesn't that tag have to be going to another non-resident? And he was like, no, actually, it can. He's like, you'll have to pay a, if it's a resident, he'll have to pay a non-resident fee, but that's about it. And I was like, so you're telling me, I was like, let me get this straight, I was like, you're telling me if he, this guy wanted to, he could transfer that tag into my name? And he's like, yes, if he wants you to have the tag, he's like, you just have to pay the non-resident fee. He's like, I need a certified doctor's note showing that he is, you know, actually hurt and can't physically make that hunt. And I was like, all right. I was like, well, you know, pass it along. I was like, but, you know, I've been waiting for that tag for 16 years.
No.
Like, I haven't drawn a tag since then. I was like, and, you know, and then whenever I found that buck, you know, like I said, I was like, that's like my dream buck. Like, I wanted to kill that deer, but didn't have a tag. So
yeah,
just things were kind of falling into place, you know. And I was like, well, let's see. And I was trying not to get too excited, because I'm like, well, sometimes game fish change your mind and stuff, and
yeah,
like that. And since yeah, nowadays I don't think they kind of let you do that in New Mexico anymore. I think probably some people figured it out and started cheating the system a little bit. But I ended up with that tag. And I ended up having to call, you know, the guys that I had called originally to take the tag, I had to end up calling them back and saying, hey, here's the deal, man, I'm taking that tag. And, you know, I had some guys like, no, you're not. I'm like, I'm sorry, like, it's my turn. this might be my only chance. Like, I just don't draw deer tags. For some reason for me, I cannot draw deer tags. And I've drawn 16D in the Gila, you know, for elk, I think four
yeah.
or five times.
Oh,
and I even drew it three years in a row one time. But when it
no
comes
what?
To deer tags, I just can't get them. I don't know what it is, but so yeah, I was like, I'm taking it, you know, sorry. And so I ended up taking the week off before that hunt, and I stayed away from him. Like, I stayed away from that buck. I went and looked, and there was another buck in there that was right about 200 also. Actually, I think he was a little over. Somebody ended up killing him later that season, and he had broke off a little bit, but he still scored like 198 or something like that. So I think that buck was going to end up going around 202 or 203. But just real heavy, typical, just freaking, like, it'd have been hard to let that buck walk away, I'd tell you that. Like,
yeah,
and I was hoping I didn't run into that deer. So then that's the week before the hunt. That's whenever I ended up picking up the 211 that we ended up killing later that year. I found him right before the hunt also.
Damn.
And but yeah, they all just kind of, like, I just, you know, that was the buck I was going after. And so the night before the hunt, like I said, I hadn't really seen anybody in there. Night before the hunt, trucks.
No.
Like, you got to be kidding me. And trucks driving, you know, other outfitters driving right down the road where he's at and everything. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of sitting back on a knoll because I know he's, like, right there on this ridge. And
yeah,
I'm just like, gosh dang it. You know, like, I thought this is, you know, I wasn't expecting that, really. And so open morning comes. I get to where I want to be early. And I get and actually my buddy, one of my guides, and buddy Chad Taylor, his wife had a tag, also had that muzzleloader tag, and they were gonna go hunt somewhere else. I'm like, no, dude, get over here. And he's like, what? He's like, well, I don't want her to kill your buck. I was like, no, I don't care. I want this buck dead. Like, if yeah. I was like, do I want to kill it? Yeah. But if she, and I told him, I was like, if she gets an opportunity with that buck, you dump him. Like, don't hesitate. And, you know, and Chad's a super good dude. He didn't want that. He knew I wanted that buck. But, so I have him set up kind of on a high spot and, you know, I got a buddy riding with me and then my little brother, he came out to help also. So we're all kind of stationed up in our spots. I'm like, okay, you know, this is where he drinks. So I got my brother over there at the pond that he drinks and, I'm where I'm pretty sure where he's going to be. And then I got my dad kind of on the backside, kind of watching the backside of the ridge. And then I got Chad up high, kind of watching everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then here comes the trucks kind of starting to roll through. And then we kind of watch and see where those guys go. And, you know, and a lot of these guys I know, so, you know, so they're a lot of us local guys, you know, we kind of have a pretty good, I guess, mutual respect for each other, you know. If one of them get there first, it kind of is what it is, you know, don't go stepping on toes and stuff. And, you know, they saw that we were kind of there. So they kind of went, still hunting in the area, but not trying to be right on top of us either. And, yeah, so opening morning comes and we can't find him. Like, and that ridge right there, we're glassing it. We're looking in. That buck knew. I mean, he felt the pressure, and I hadn't seen him. I mean, I hadn't seen him in a while, so I'm just taking a pretty good guess that he's there. And so you know, sun comes up. I think we see eight or nine different bucks on the same ridge that he's on, and the bucks that he was running with, and all summer we're seeing them, but we're not seeing
really?
Him. I'm like, what in the heck, man? I'm like, what is going on? You know, and because with all the other hunters around, I'm nervous and a lot more nervous than I, you know, because the gun's in my hand now. You know, so I'm like, yeah, I'm nervous. And so we ended up not seeing him that morning. So I was like, well, I'm not going to go bust him off that ridge. I was like, because I know there's guys over there up on that point. I was like, that's an exit for him. I was like, those guys are sitting right on that trail. So I don't want to bump this buck and, you know, chase him right to somebody else. I was like, so I'm not going in after this deer. My dad, you know, he's old school, you know, that's how he likes to hunt. He's super aggressive. And sometimes we got to pull him back a little bit. And, you know, he's like, just go in there and kill him. I'm like, man, I know that's where I know that's where he's going to run. And if I miss, you know, it's a muzzle, I get one shot. If I miss or I don't get a shot, that's where he's going. And, so what I decided to do is hit everything in that area except for where I think that buck is. So I think I ended up passing up like 13 or 14 bucks that day. And there, you know, there's some in the 180s, 190s, bucks like that. I mean, I had bucks, 50 yards. I just hit everything around it, everything around him. I'm like, I just want to know he's still on that ridge.
Yeah.
So, that's all I did all day long was beat the hills up around that ridge for miles. I don't even know how many miles I put in that day. And so at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I hit everything else. So I got to believe he's on that ridge. He just didn't move. The other bucks moved. He just didn't move. So the next morning, we go in, and actually the evening before, there was a really, he was probably a buck in the 190s and had an inline on one side. And since Chad's wife had a tag, I was like, okay, go ahead. I was like, come over here. I was like, that's a good buck. She'll be happy with that one. And, so the next morning, so it's the second morning, we get in there pretty early again, and I see that inline buck going up the ridge, right next to the ridge where I think my buck is on.
Yeah.
And so I told Chad and him, I was like, hey, I'm gonna do something here. I was like, I'm gonna walk up on the ridge that I think my buck is on. I was like, I'm gonna see if I can glass up that inline buck, and then, you know, watch him come in here and shoot it. And so me and my buddy Stephen King, I grab a spawn scope and, you know, my gun, and we park the truck on next to the ridge where I believe my buck's still on, and there's still bucks on the ridge. I already know there is. We already seen them this morning.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of coming in real low on it where I don't think there's any bucks. And I just pop over this little hill. I mean, an 8-foot little dune. As soon as I pop over the hill, I see horns and a flash of gray taking off. And I'm not getting too excited because I already know there's other bucks on the ridge. So
Yeah.
That's all I seen. I was like, it's probably one of the other bucks, you know, and I'm watching, and finally the buck kind of runs up and stops behind a tree to look back, and whenever he looks back, I could see, all I could see is the side of one of his horns, and I could see, you know, those defying kickers coming out, you know.
Yeah.
And I see him coming up, and I'm already on the gun, you know. I've been doing this a lot. Like, even if you don't think it's your buck, get ready just in case it is, you know. Always be ready with deer.
Yeah.
And so I'm on my gun, just, you know, waiting. I'm expecting it to be a different buck, and then I see those kickers come back, and then I just cock back the hammer, and my buddy's like, "You're gonna shoot that deer?" And I was like, "It's him." He's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "It's him." I was like, "Hold on." I was like, "I just need to step out from behind that tree." And normally, like, if I feel like I can fit a bullet through a tree, you know, on a big deer like that, I will take that shot. Like, if I can see any kind of opening, I'll try to thread the needle. And but there's no opening on this tree. Like, it's a thick tree. I can't see any hair, any body. And I'm like, the muzzleloader, I'm not gonna send it. And I was like, he's gonna step out. He's kind of facing that way where he's gonna step out. Well, the buck ends up turning straight away and runs right over the ridge and disappears.
And no.
Now I'm freaking out. Yeah, now I'm freaking out because I got Chad's actually, Chad is to my east, and that's which way the buck is starting to run.
Okay.
So I called Chad on the phone real quick, and I was like, "Hey," I was like, "Do not let that buck pass you." And he's like, "What?" And I was like, "He's running your way. Do not let him pass you." I was like, "Cause I know who. There's other guys up on the point, and just that trail that I said that he's probably gonna go up." I was like, "He's heading toward that trail, and there's guys sitting on it right now." I was like,
"Yeah,
do not." I told you, I made it very clear to Chad. I'm like, "Dude, don't. You guys need to get that deer. He's coming to you." You know, and so me and my buddy take off. I told him, I was like, "Go ahead and go down." I was like, "Take my spots, go back to the truck." And I was like, and I take off running. I'm running after this buck. I run up to the top of the ridge. Whenever I get to the top of the ridge, I can see him going across a little valley to the next ridge there. And I probably could have took a tough shot right there, but I didn't want to push him harder than he's already being pushed, since I already know there's people out in front of us, other hunters. So so I didn't take the shot, and as I started to see him slow down, I'm like, "Oh, that sucker's about to look back." I mean, and look, them deer, mule deer, like, they're not looking back to give you a shot, you know. And you talk to some whitetail hunters, like, "Yeah, you know, mule deer, they're not very smart. They like to, you know, they stop and look back and give you a shot." I'm like, "Well, it's actually a really smart move. It's because what they're actually doing is seeing what you're doing. Because if a buck stops and looks back at you like that, and they see you chasing them, they're gonna run for a couple miles. And
yeah,
they look back, and because they'll sit there for a while, you know, they'll sit there and watch. They're gonna wait and see what you do. They're planning their next step." And so I kind of knew that with him. Like, "Oh, he's about to go to that ridge and stop, and I'm up here on a high point, so I'm gonna be stuck up here." So I didn't wait for him to stop. I just knew he was gonna stop on that ridge. So I bail off that little high point that I was on and get low where he couldn't see me coming. And then my buddy ends up meeting me around over there, and I told him at the bottom of the ridge, and I told him, I was like, "Hey, that buck just stopped right there on that ridge." And we kind of come around, kind of scoot around over there where we can see that ridge a little bit. And sure enough, he's standing there at about 150 yards and still waiting to see what I'm doing. And then whenever we kind of come around the corner there, he is pretty surprised. He is still looking up at the knoll where he had just came from.
Oh my
God. At that point, like, at 150 yards, and I'm decent at judging, I'm like, "I don't need to range that. I just need to put crosshairs on him and pull the trigger." So that's what I did. And, you know, with muzzleloader smoke, I do remember seeing, you know, him jump and kick and kind of run into the trees. And my buddy's like, "I'm pretty sure you killed that deer." And we kind of, you know, we got real quiet right there. And we could hear rack, you know, horns kind of hitting the ground where he's thrashing. And, yeah, I kind of lost my cool right there, you know. I was like, you know, finally, like, I was like, that's my dream ever. Like, when people ask me if there's anywhere I wanted to hunt or if I could pick one place to hunt, where would it be? And I was like, it'd be a mule deer hunt, and not you. That's my dream hunt. I was like, that's what I want to do, but just never could get a tag in it. So, yeah, that was, pretty special moment for me right there, finally getting
That's so smart, though, that you kind of knew what he was going to do and just Like, I feel like a lot of hunters would have stayed up on that knoll, but for you to get down into range and then just be able to kill them right there, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're, man, that's just what I like about the elder men. They're smart. They're thinkers, you know, and that's just what they're doing. They want to see what you're doing. So I knew that. I'm like, because I've done, you know, I've made every mistake you can make on the elder, pretty much. Been doing it enough that, yeah, I've made every mistake. So I try not to make the same mistake twice. And that's what I started figuring out. I'm like, man, every time they see me coming, like, I see them up on the ridge and I'm chasing them, seems like they run forever. I was like, so, but sometimes you just kind of got to sit back and, see what happens, or, you know, not push them, and maybe they won't run as far.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's a challenge. That's what I like about mule deer hunting. It's always a challenge, and every big buck that we kill is, you know, it's always, you know, kind of special. Like, I never get over it. Like, anytime we kill 200 deer, it's like, man, I can't believe we killed another one.
Or yeah.
Just a big old deer, you know. And the big old smart ones are fun to hunt. they can do some stuff. It's crazy what they'll do to survive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What did that deer end up going?
215.
Jeez. It's just such a cool looking deer too, with all the cheetahs.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, like, I kind of, you know, give some people crap because I'm like, well, he's basically missing a G4 on one side and I guard on one side. But yeah, I mean, at that point, who cares? You know, I was like, I don't care what he was, because actually, and it's kind of crazy about that buck right there too, is I actually had him, I misjudged him. I thought he was going to go over 220. just from the, like, and then, you know, and I'll show people videos of him and stuff, and I'll be like, you know, where do you think that buck would go? And, you know, they would kind of guess the same thing. And he was a little bitty deer. He was a little guy. Like, his body was small.
Super. Really?
So it made his frame, I thought he was going to have like a 30-something inch frame, you know, and I think it was more like a 28-inch frame or something like that. Because he was so much smaller. That's something I never noticed, right, because I'm staring at the horns. But whenever we walked up on him, you know, I got the whole, I know all my people there and stuff, and everybody's, you know, pretty happy for me. They knew what that meant to me. You know, that's why they're all out there helping me. And they're like, what do you think he's going to go? And I was like, he's probably going to be between 210 and 215. They're like, I thought you said he was like going to be like a 220 buck. I was like, he's little. Like, he's got the body of like a little forked horn. I was like, I don't know what's going on there. I was like, but his body's little. And then I went back into videos and I started looking at the videos of him whenever he's running with the bachelor bucks, and he's running with a buck that's probably in the 180s. And in the video, you can clearly see that 180 buck dwarfed him. Like, was just way bigger bodied than him. And so it's kind of a weird thing. Is kind of learned something that year, is like, man, better pay attention to body size, because some of these bucks just got small bodies. They're just, you know, little guys.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But big horns. I've heard about it like before, but I guess I never really thought about it. And there's another guy that I known forever. He told me about kind of a similar story where he was chasing it, what he thought was a 190 to 200 inch typical, and ended up killing him. And I was like, man, what are you going? He's like, 160. And I'm like, man, how did you misjudge that? Like, there ain't no way. Like, this guy's a really good hunter. I'm like, how did you misjudge that? And he's like, man, his body was the size of a German Shepherd. He's like, so made it 160 set, you know, set of horns. It looked giant. He's like, he just looked like a big deer. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I've never seen nothing like that. And that, whenever I walked up on my buck, and that story right there kind of clicked into my mind. I'm like, oh, that's first time this has happened to me. You know, yeah, he's still a big deer, but yeah, he just had a little body on him.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to tell some stories and give us some tips. I know I learned a lot. What's the best way for people to, like, find you, like, if you want to say your Instagram or whatever?
Yeah, it's my Facebook is just Anthony Hampton, and then I got a website also, HamptonTrophyOutfitters.com, and then on Instagram it's Hampton Trophy Outfitters.
Perfect.
And yeah, that's pretty much kind of all we do. I don't really I really don't try to run a ton of hunters. I got a select few guides that I run and that I trust. So we seem to get the, you know, about the right amount of hunters, you know, for me. I don't like to take on more than I can chew. So it's kind of just how we operate. I'm not trying to, you know, be, you know, a giant outfitter. I like kind of staying pretty local, you know, pretty small, and, you know, keep the quality up, and not so much as a quantity, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like whatever you're doing is working. I don't know anyone who's doing more big bucks consistently, so I appreciate you taking the time to get on and do this. So.
No, thanks for having me. I was like telling
Hey
stories.
Guys, thanks again for listening. I'd love to hear any feedback you guys have as far as audio and everything. I'm trying a few different things to make it sound as good as possible. Or if you know anyone who consistently kills big bucks that I need to try to get on the podcast, I'd love to hear some names too. But we're going to put out a few more episodes here really soon, and we're going to keep the ball rolling. So